podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, good evening and welcome to the Fatback 4 for this Sunday night. Liverpool have beaten Brentford 3-0. Arsenal are messing over the North London derby. Spurs are upset. Which, I don't know why they started it all. And Rafa, mission complete, as I've seen someone say in the chat. We'll talk about him later. You're all very welcome. As you can see, Kev, Davo and Shawnee with us. Davo, a very able stand-in for Keith, who will be allowed to return to Anfield after going there today and witnessing a 3-0 win. If you're watching, please hit the like button. You're in there, hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. And look, if you can share it across your social media, by all means do that. But the most important thing is, and the one thing we ask for the most, get in the chat, throw in your comments, and we go from there. Shawnee, we've loads to get through. Liverpool 3, Brentford 0 in the Premier League to keep the title push alive, as I said to Davo when we came on. Don't laugh. But your initial thought, Shawnee, straightforward. One of those where you just go, yeah, that's one we're expected to win.
Yeah, like, I don't know whether it was a 3-0 game, though, to be honest with you. Like, just periods of the game wrecking me head, Gavin, I think about, I know we win. I try not to be negative, but...
But you're going just, to be. Walk away.
No, just like, there was... Look, we get the win, but that 5 minutes in the second half where we just keep giving the fucking ball away, it's driving me mad. Like, do that against better opposition and you'd be punished, like, you know what I mean? So, look... I think with Chelsea losing yesterday, we win today, and Arsenal and Spurs not playing and West Ham winning, it just kind of clears up the little picture a little bit. And you don't want to be getting dragged back. We should just continue to look forward now until May and not back. Because once we're just chasing City and not looking behind us, I think we'll be all right in that regards in the league. But look, no use saying keep title push alive, but there's nobody getting there, Man City. I'm sorry to poo-poo all over your party, but I just don't think that is, to be honest.
Well, it's my party, and I'm telling you, it's still on. And Carl Torley backs me up, but that's all I need in life, to be fairly honest with you, Shawnee. Davo, Shawnee says there, part of the game, doing his head in, but 3-0. It's 3 points. It's a clean sheet. It's all you can really ask for, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it's... Listen, I thought it was a hell of a lot better than the Arsenal game now last week. We'll get into bits and bobs, but I thought it was a hell of a lot better. Like Shawnee, a couple of things annoyed me. Like, thought Trent's couple of brain farts annoyed me and stuff like that. Just real kind of lazy in mind at times, giving up chances. And Shawnee's right, you do that against better sides, you'd be punished. But look, I think the most important thing was the clean sheet, because with the lads at the AFCON, Shawnee didn't think it was a 3-0 game, possibly so, but we still kept the clean sheet. And when you're missing all them goals at the AFCON, you're not going to be getting, I know we got three today, but like, it's not a given that we'll score plenty of goals anyway, so it might just be the one in the games where the lads are missing. So the clean sheet was imperative, so I think that was the biggest takeaway for today, clean sheet.
Do you agree, Kev? Biggest takeaway was the clean sheet? Because I think you said to me earlier, that's Klopp's 350th game in charge, and it's the most goals we've scored up to this stage in any season under him.
So it's in the Premier League era.
Yeah,
full stop. This is the most amount of goals, and I think, might be wrong, but I think it's the highest points total that we've had at this stage of the season. Well, one of the highest points totals at this stage of the season in the Premier League era. I think someone put a tweet up earlier on. I'll see if I can get it. I'll get it when the guys are chatting in a bit. But it goes along the lines of... let's have a look here one sec. Because it is kind of pertinent to what we were talking about.
Is it about the different teams, Kev? The treble winners, what points they had, the United's treble winners.
And that's all. you know,
for all 87, 88 team and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a couple there. There's one on Tacky, and I'll get to that in a bit. But I think for the point, I can't find it at the minute. I'll find it in a bit. But for the points total that we're on at the minute, for all the doom and gloom that's going around about the club, we're doing really, really well. It's just that Man City are a juggernaut, and they're setting new rules. You know, the rules have changed. The rules of the game have changed. And to get to 95 points, which is the target that they're setting, you have to be near perfect. And it's the draws that are killing us. Today was grand. You know, clean sheet. We gave up one shot on target. They had two decent efforts. But other than that, we never struggled. We took almost total control of the game to a point where it was... the only thing that was worrying me was the lapse of concentration or boredom of doing the same thing in the first half, moving the ball, trying to move them around. And I thought, if someone gets bored, someone misses a step, you let them in, because we were so high and so risky that, yeah, I see that Johnny B. Red said, painful to watch. It can be painful to watch. But you know what? When you've got side playing with two forwards with a huge gap into the middle of midfield, you know, with a back five with three sat in front of it, it's patience, and it's going to take time to sort it out. That's the one, I think, bit. Cahill, it was Harry Jackson's tweet on Twitter. That's the one I was thinking about. I'll see if I can find it in a bit. But look, it's nice coming after a win, and I'm not going to moan about it, because look, overall we've had two losses in all competitions all season. I'm not going to bloody moan about it. I can't.
Yeah, it's, look, draws have killed us, there's no doubt about that. I think if we convert two of those, I think it's a whole different story. You know, we could be 4 points off seat if we win a game in hand, something like that. But it's just one of those, like, where, like, looking at today,
that was it here.
Go on, read it out to me.
I read it out to you here. Struggling second place Liverpool after 21 matches this season is on 45 points. Liverpool's best ever team in 88-89 after 21 matches were on 32 points. Manchester United's treble winners after 21 matches were on 38 points. Arsenal's invincibles after 21 games were on 49 points. Let's have a look here. And he's just basically said, basically, City have clouded everything. They've assembled the best and most expensive squad in the history of the English football. They're on a ludicrous winning run more seasons, getting 90 to 100 points. This Liverpool side wins titles after titles in most other eras, as simple as that.
Yeah, well, that's like saying if your auntie had balls, you'd be our uncle.
Yeah, that's the reality of what he's saying, and he's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong, but at the same time, like, the way I would put it is, if we look at the draws we've had this season, like, how many draws have we had?
Five?
I think it's more than four.
Brentford, Brighton, Chelsea.
Six.
City.
Six. We've won 14 games, which is 6 points. It's 40.
Scores.
Yeah, it's scores. Six. So we've won 13, we've drawn 6, and we've lost 2 of 21, right?
Yeah.
But forget City. What you have to look at is those draws that we had, you could accept 3 of them. If you want to accept 3 of them, accept 3 of them, right? Chelsea, City, and Spurs, for argument's sake.
We went ahead in every one of them games as well.
Yeah, you can accept
Chelsea.
Yeah, but if you as Liverpool make 3 of those count, right, we're sitting 5 points off Man City with a game in hand. Nothing to do with Man City. Absolutely nothing to do with Man City. Because if Liverpool converted games as they should have, right, and listen, I think Liverpool have done really well this season. There's no doubt about that. You look where they are in the League Cup, the Champions League, the form they're in. The league overall, yeah, I get it. When you look at it, you go, play 21, won 13, drawn 6, lost 2. That's a good. For most seasons, that's really good, right? You're averaging in around, you're probably doing 90 point plus season. But if you look at it, what we've done has had nothing to do with City, bar drawing with them. You only played them twice.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that they can go through different periods where they go, we're going to take five out here and put five in, and no one's going to bat an eyelid. Right? Whereas if we do it, people go, fucking, he's gone in. But that's just the level we're up against. But
in bygone eras, you could lose four or five league games to win the league.
Yeah, more than that,
Johnny, from... They always spoke about this from probably 2000 onwards. And it was always, don't lose more than six.
These were eras as well where you're getting sides winning Champions Leagues and winning leagues. You know, they're doing a league and Champions League double or winning a league and a Champions League next year. It's just the standard. Is it a case that the standard has gone up? Or there's a couple of clubs, you know, a handful of clubs are taking it away from everyone? Because you look across all leagues in Europe now and you've got one dominant, overly dominant side, and it's almost to the detriment of the rest of the league. And if it wasn't for us in the last few years giving City a bit of a run for their money, the Premier League is there. It's already
the only team not making this a league where it's Bayern Munich every year is Liverpool. It really is. And the gas thing is, most of the country watching, or most of the UK, Ireland, wherever, any non-Liverpool fan watching wants City to beat Liverpool. Just the way it is.
Yeah, but Cav, you say that now, and you say that now, we're the only team that's stopping it being a League One, but when you think about it, like, in this Klopp Pep era that everybody talks about, we've only really ran them twice. And we won it once and lost it once. So are we really? Do you know what I mean? Just because City are so good, it doesn't mean Liverpool are shite. Because I'd actually back us to win the Champions League over it, beat them to the Champions League this year, providing everybody's fit. I'd go out on a limb saying, if you're not Man City, the Premier League is the hardest competition in the world to win. That's the truth. Because when they're on it, you can't not be on it. You can't draw. Because they are going, if they're anyway near on it or interested, that they own 90 to 95 points handy.
That's the reality of it. When you're talking about league wins now, during this Pep and Klopp era, particularly since we got to 97 and didn't win it, you're looking at, don't think about winning the league unless you're posting 92, 93 points, because you're not winning. Simple as that. Do you know what I mean? Like, unless there's a huge fight. If you're not going to put 92 points in the board, you're not beating.
I'd say it's higher than that. I'd actually say if you said to me at the start of the season, Liverpool are going to have a brilliant season, I'll offer you 94 points now. Would you take it? And with a chance to win the league, I'd have to say no. Because
what did they win away?
12 from 12. I think they've won the last 12 games.
Yeah,
they've won the lot. And the thing is, like, it's not, Shawnee, what you're, and I don't know how we've got onto this, but we'll stay on it before we get right into the game.
I think with this City team, I think we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, it does depend how it pans out, because I think that poor hunters, but they're great leaders. I think when they're out in front, they're tough to catch, but when you're ahead of them, they're likely to wilt. And we've seen
86 last year, Shawnee.
They didn't get going last year,
just stepped off the pedal mid-February when they knew Liverpool weren't going at them, because they knew no one else was. That's what City aren't looking at anybody in this league, Barros. I'll put it this way, they're on whatever amount of points they're on now, say we're all on 22 games, and we say for argument's sake City had 60 points and Chelsea had 57 and Liverpool, or Chelsea had 58 and Liverpool had 57. They're not paying a blind bit of attention to Chelsea football.
No.
They're watching what Liverpool are doing, because they know if this gets into a run and we're down in April, particularly end of March, start of April, and this has one slip in it, one little mistake in it, and Liverpool will be on you. They're not paying attention to Chelsea football club. They're watching Liverpool. And the thing is, Shawnee says there that he back us over two legs against City. So would I. Right, he'd also back us because we seem to have more balls about us when it comes to the Champions League and playing and trusting in what we do instead of overthinking it. I agree, but the thing is, when it comes to a league campaign, right, and this isn't me writing off Liverpool by any means, because I won't give up on the league until it's mathematically gone. That's just me. But what it is that injuries can come, suspension can come, fucking COVID can rock in, and they'll just churn out the players. Yeah, they're just throwing them out. Difference. They go, see, you have six out. Oh, well, you could have a called off. Why the fuck would we? We've put these six in. It doesn't matter. Whereas other clubs, you know, mortal clubs, I suppose, even a Manchester United, a Liverpool, even a Chelsea, I go, we have six out. We can't compete with that. They have literally went and bought whatever they need to buy and have 22, 23, 24 players, all who are absolutely top notch. And yes, you can only put 11 on the pitch. If we played City 38 times to see who would win it, we'd win it. That's just me. But it's a monumental thing to be up against. And before you go into, people who go into FFP and stuff like that, there's no point. It doesn't exist. So that's, you might as well, you're pissing against the wind talking.
We're not helped either by the other 18 clubs in the league who tend to... You'll see it later on in the season when sides are making fixtures, having to make games up. They'll put out weakened sides against Man City and concentrate on the games that they think they can win. And it's across the board. They'll concentrate on other things. They'll rest players for a relegation battle, or they'll rest players for a game that might get them into the Europa Conference League against Man City. They'll rest players against City, or they'll bend over for City, or they'll go one down and they'll fold. They're a different. It's sides have a different mentality when they're taking on Man City. They'll park the bus against us because they think it works. If it doesn't, because more often than not we'll find a way. It's rare that we don't, and the number of goals that we've scored this season shows that we're capable of scoring goals. It's just like you said, the draws. Turning three of those draws into wins is 6 points, brings us that much closer, plus the fact we'd have to go and play them. They would twitch at that. They'd be nervous at that. And the other side of it is that twitch might focus their mind and make them concentrate in the league a lot more, and they could go for the rest of the season completely unbeaten. They're really good. You know, they're just an absolute relentless monster when they get on a run.
They are, and it's not hard for them to get on a run with what they have. And the thing is, like, everyone looks around Christmas periods and COVID and stuff like that. They're just going through it, going, what? What are you going to do about it? And we're looking, going, we might have to play him. That's a bit of a risk. They're just going, I'll bring in.
That's why they won about 8 Carabao Cups in the row, because the second team is good enough to get them to a semi-final, and then they try win a few first-teamers. And then they're good enough to beat anybody, and then they're in a final. So that's literally the strength
they're up against. But having said that, Shani, when you go back to it, if Liverpool had converted three of those six draws, right, we'd be 6 points points better off with a game in hand, and we'd be sitting 2 points off Man City.
Yeah, and if Liverpool had a bit more quality on the bench to spending a few quid, we might be even closer. So. These are all variables that we only compete because of Klopp, and that's the truth.
Yeah, he's massive. Simple as that. He made an interesting comment today, actually, about they asked him, was he proud of the 350 games and the goals and the points? And he said, no, I'm happy with it. But he said, look, I look a lot different to October 2015. He does. He's aged about 20 fucking years, God love him. But he says, like, it's worth every second and every single thing I do that I put into this club because of the history, the passion, the emotion. And he said, look, he said, it's like a book. He said, we're writing a story. He said, and we're way, way away from finishing the writing. And I was like, oh, if he's way away, what does he consider way away? Because in 2 years, he's meant to be gone. But it kind of piqued my interest for him extending, but I don't know if that'll happen. I really don't. But anyway, let's go. I don't know how we got that 22 minutes in. We don't give a fuck about the Brentford game. But the lineup, and Davo, I'll come to you first because Minamino, after the bad miss on Thursday night, he drops out. Ox comes in for him up front with Jota and Firmino. You have Henderson, you have Fabinho. Curtis Jones comes in midfield to replace Milner, and Matip comes in to replace Konate. Am I right?
No, Matip stays in.
Matip stays in. again, Davo, strong. Very similar to what we've seen on Thursday night, it's getting minutes and legs, and it's still a really good side, Davo, when you look at it, isn't it? It's still a really good side.
Now, listen, I was happy with it. Like, I think we'd all be on the same page with kind of the performance from the Arsenal game being just so fucking sterile and side to side and no inventiveness and no one to beat a player in the midfield and stuff like that. So I was delighted that Jones and Ox came in. And in fairness, they did well, the two of them did very well. So I had no issues with the lineup. You're obviously looking at Robertson maybe with that knock that he took in the cup, but he was obviously fine. And strong side. The bench is obviously fairly bare with the boys away, and then Origi is injured, Thiago's injured. So that wasn't like it looked like one of them we needed to get it done with the bodies that were starting in the game to kind of because it would have been tough bringing lads off the bench. But now, I think it was probably, particularly the way the performance went last tour, is probably the strongest side you can play the way things are at the minute.
Shawnee, is it a case that he's just going to go strong as much as he can to get him through this period?
Yeah, January is famously a difficult period for Klopp since he's come in. So it can be like that, you know what I mean? You can't get stuck, you do have months, and it was just about getting it done today. And as Shane said, like, midweek was poxy. I think we all agree that you don't want to see that Milner end on midfield again. So when you're seeing Jones and you're seeing Chamberlain in the line, you are kind of like, right, we should be at least 5 to 10% better here. And
more mobile,
quick to be. Yeah, exactly. It just gives us a different dynamic, Gavin. You have somebody who can run from the midfield and break lines and be a little bit more, be a bit more risk adverse. You know what I mean? So the lineup kind of picks itself now. When you look at the bench, you're kind of thinking, who would you put in here instead of Dale? Like I only said the other day, I would have started Kate Gordon just as a wild card, but. Mm-hmm. You got the job done in the end, I think.
You wanted to start him, Shawnee, because he was pace. He had pace.
It's just
and he was a bit
different.
More
like
And I suppose Ox is that, isn't he? Up front instead of.
It was a weird setup, because it was one of the first times in a while when I seen the 11 come out, I'm thinking, oh, we might not be playing 4-3-3. I thought it could have been a possible diamond with Curtis at the top of a diamond, Jones at the top of a diamond, Ox at the top of a diamond, but it just seemed to be the basic for us, and look, it got the job done. At the end of the day, it's always about results really now. When you're in this end of the table, it's just getting the 3 points. That the 11s really should be picking themselves at this stage, bar probably Kanate or Matip, which he seems to juggle a little bit, so no real complaints.
No, it is for me. It's a case he's going to go as strong as he can, get through this period, get the boys back from the AFCON, and see where we sit, and maybe rotate it a little bit then when he has.
There's only two more games now there, miss, isn't it? Arsenal and then Palace.
The final is the 6th of February.
We obviously don't know
who's getting there. So
we have Palace. We've Arsenal, Palace,
Cardiff.
And then we've a break, don't
Cardiff.
We?
Cardiff, the following week.
We play Palace.
And then we play Cardiff on the Sunday at 12 o'clock. The following Sunday.
Unless any of them get knocked out in the quarters.
It is the 6th of February. There's a week off.
Yeah, it would be the 6th of February,
Because today as well. What day is today?
Today's the 16th,
right? So we play Arsenal and then we play Palace next Sunday, which is the 23rd. We don't play a game then until the 6th of February, which is Cardiff.
And I'd say they might throw that Leeds game in there.
No, they can't because
it's an official international break for certain federations. They can't. Can't get it in there. It's a designated.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's the. I think it's only the South American and Asian.
But it's still a designated break. So if you've players gone out from that, you don't have to play. I can't see them putting them in there. They may get some games in there if they have clubs that aren't called away from that. But I know Fabinho and Alisson have been called away for that. Firmino hasn't.
Fabinho has as well for them, so they won't want to play.
Yeah, either. Exactly. So it's one of those. But that's all they'll miss. They missed two more games.
Gav, you're right. We literally, it goes from the 20th. I'm looking here on Premier League
23rd
website.
23rd right to the 6th, isn't it?
The 23rd midweek games. There's midweek games after the FA Cup. So it's the 23rd FA Cup weekend, and then we'll have the boys back then. So Leicester at home, then we should have both Mawa and
the three of them.
Mane. Mane back.
Yeah. And Katie, yeah.
And Katie, yeah.
But Katie, Kev, I wanted to come to you because I just looking, there was dominance in that first half. Bear Matt making a bad mistake and handing it to Tony, I think it was.
Yeah.
And he hits one wide. Bear that, it was fairly dominant. And Liverpool had chances, you know. Jota has a header, Matip has a couple of chances, Van Dijk has one cleared off the line, Trent has a shot that just narrowly misses out, and we eventually get the goal, Kev. We were saying about it earlier, it was a key time to get it, wasn't it? It was, because you, like, I know these fucking boys in the WhatsApp group, right? If that goes to halftime, stick your fucking phone in the sink until the fucking second half. Don't go near it. But it is a key time to get it, isn't it? And Fabinho adding goals to his game. Good to see.
It's always a great time to get it. And I said at the end of in the post-match show that Fabinho should be getting more goals because of his sheer size and presence at set pieces. He should be more dominant. And having watched the goal back, the work that Henderson does to pin Ivan Toney and the keeper in on the spot, meaning they couldn't come for the whip cross. Because if Henderson doesn't do what he does, their keeper comes and clears that. Because it was a really good height. But because Henderson pinned him, it allowed the ball to travel as far as it did. And it was just a nice finish. Perfect timing. It was a lovely goal.
Shani, Passio says here, we didn't really look like scoring until the goal. I have to disagree with that.
Strongly disagree with that.
No, I disagree with that.
We had chances. They came out to make a few saves. We did have chances. I thought we looked a bit more inventive today in the course. That wasn't always the same thing, which can happen when we're struggling to get a goal. I think sometimes we panic and go into autopilot, and it's them lofted balls that we just put. No, they kept ticking away today. And like Kev said, we don't get enough goals, I don't think, from set pieces this side. I think when we won the league in 1920, we beat them out in the league. I think we should be getting more. I think we definitely should be getting more with the types of player. And we're unlucky there. Like, Van Dijk has one cleared off the line from their keeper. So we did have chances. We did look like scoring. And we looked like the only team going to score, to be honest. I think Tony has a snapshot from about 35 yards out and just goes wide of the post. Other than that, they don't really trouble us. But yeah, just like Henderson forcing an error there and the ball dribbling in the box, and you need that little bit of luck. And I think the timing again was key, Gav, because we kind of have the opposite thing that City have. I think teams now get us in at nil all, they feel like they will get one big chance.
Yeah.
And the longer the game stays at nil all, they obviously grow while we begin to panic more. So timing is everything. And yeah, the going in at the break 1-0 was huge.
Sean Casey says there, Elliot's Instagram says he's back in first team training tomorrow, which is huge.
Yeah,
it'll be a while, but to see him back out with the first team squad is massive. You know, and I suppose, I don't know how long it'll take him to get up to speed, but you know, we have Arsenal, we have Palace, and then you have a bit of a break right through the Cardiff.
Maybe after the break.
You're probably looking after Cardiff and going, chance of him to come back in here. And I'm really looking forward to coming back in because I thought he was growing so much into it. And the game he gets injured in, I think he's brilliant in. The spaces he's finding, the areas he's getting into, I thought he was absolutely excellent. So, with a bit of luck, we see Harvey Elliott on the pitch for Liverpool soon. But we get in at half time. We get in at 1-0. Fabinho scores. It changes the way us. Maybe it doesn't change the way Brentford are looking at it. Still sit tight, but they're not going to be as deep, I think. You know, if they went in at nil all, they'd be going, right, let's double down on this and, you know, take a striker off, put a midfielder in there and just completely close down because they've only 45 minutes to go. But not that it changes their outlook, but Davo, does it free us up a little bit? Because we know we're dominant. We're not giving much away, bar one bad mat slip. There's a change our outlook where it gives us that we don't rush things as much second half. We're not snatching at stuff. We're not, you know, all this fucking cross all the time, which will do your head in. It frees us up a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, you get the goal, it takes the pressure off. Obviously, look, it settles everybody down, settles the crowd down. And obviously, listen, to Brentford, I don't think, like you said, would change their approach. They're only a goal down. They'd be looking for, listen, they like a long throw. The longer it stays at one, there in the game, I thought the timing of the goals was very, even the second goal was important today. Do you know what I mean? Just to kind of put it to bed. Like they, in the first half, their best kind of spell is probably 5 minutes before we score around half time. The crowd are getting a bit antsy. We get the goal, settles everyone down. Second half, the crowd wasn't as antsy, but you thought it was one of them games where we were going to need a second goal because I was at one, especially with the lads away. But I thought, you mentioned cross. I think the standard of crossing helps. Do you know, I thought it was, the quality was an awful lot better than Duran.
Yeah.
Them little floaty lofted shit you want to end, that defenders don't have to deal much.
I hate clear. When I've seen a ball being pulled back to a fella to cross. I fucking hate it.
Well, I don't mind depending on what quality comes out of them.
But
then,
Trent puts in one or two lovely ones first half,
couldn't,
especially.
Yeah, like, there was a lot of crossing in the first half today, but it was quality, and they couldn't get out. They were just getting headers on it. It was going fucking 15, it was going 25 yards out for Fabinho. I was picking it up, getting it out to Robbo, vice versa. Jones would be getting on it, getting Henderson on it out to Trent. And look, they struggled to get out. And I think pinning them in, look, they're not as good as Arsenal. So if Arsenal get their foot in it and can get out like they did on Thursday, they can cause you some issues. But they're not as good as Arsenal. But I thought the quality of crossing was a lot better than from Thursday night. And obviously, listen, we get one from the corner and we get another one then from Ox. So, yeah, look, I just fucking, obviously, look, it's all on quality. If you can get the quality of crossing up, I don't mind it. But like you, them floaty ones into the box, they're allowed. And it just seems to be when you're 70 minutes in and we're struggling to break a team down, the next thing is Henderson with these little fucking pitching wedges into the keeper's hands and drive you mad. But now, none of that today, thank God.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, we always know we need a second. Shani, I'll come to you. We always know we need a second because I think around the hour mark, is it I want to say his name right, is it Mbeumo?
Mbeumo, yeah.
He's a bit of a chance on his left foot and he tries to go for it. He tries to just bend it in at Alisson's right-hand side. It doesn't quite happen for him. Liverpool have a chance then with Jota. I think it's Jota, yeah. And
it's the post.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And then you're thinking, oh, fucking hell.
Their keeper saves a one-on-one as well from Jota.
Yeah, the one-on-one, what I'm thinking
good
of.
Good save, yeah.
Because you're thinking, they've missed a chance. We've missed a fucking chance. It's starting to get, you know, will it go chance for chance here? And what way could it go, Shawnee? But we settle it down with Ox's goal, and I have to be honest, it's a brilliant ball from Robertson, and it's a really, really good fucking header to keep his eye on it, because if you watch the defender in front of him, the defender makes a real attempt to get to it, and he has to keep his eye on it and bury it, and I was delighted from Sean, I have to be honest with you.
Yes, I was. I don't think it was his best game, but look, that's what Ox gives you. Like, them late runs into the box is exactly what you need. You don't get that from a static Milner and a Henderson who has to kind of do the job of two in there. So that's what he gives you. And it bared fruit today. And it's a good ball from Robbo when he just gets on the end of it. And it's, look, like you said, that kind of breaks the back of the game then. That takes it away from Brentford because any chance they probably thought of snatching something then is dead. So the thing is, when you get two, you're way more likely to go on and get 3, 4, 5. Do you know what I mean? So that's how it can be, because they have to kind of go away from that plan then when they're 2-0 down, because they're not just going to sit in for the rest of the game. So, yeah, hope his injury's not too bad, because that just seems to be the fucking story of Ox's career.
Looks okay. Klopp says
he starts to get going and then he's out for a period and then he's to come back then and, you know, yourself. So hopefully it's not too bad, because he goes straight down the tunnel, doesn't he, when he comes off? So, yeah, well taken, though. Well taken goal.
Key Plunkett of this parish. He says, evening, lads. Lovely win for the Reds. Matip and Court is very good today. And he also updates us by telling us that his 7-year-old child has realised that the walk from Anfield to town is a pig. Yeah, it is. It is an absolute pig. But listen, you're better off teaching them young. Because, like, listen, whenever they're sacking their manager, you're not getting a taxi around Anfield. Let's be honest about it. But it's a really good goal. Apparently Klopp said it's nothing too serious from him. I'd say it's fairly similar to Robertson's from the game do you remember he gets this? Doesn't he get a bang, Robertson, in the FA Cup?
He gets a bang against Shrewsbury, yeah.
And I think, I think it's quite similar. And he looks like he's just rolled a little bit. He should be okay. So with a bit of luck. And listen, people will go, oh, well, he's fucking brutal. No, he's a body and you need him, especially in the next two games. Just get through the next, win the next two games and we're sitting going, nice little break now. Back for Cardiff, a nice cup game. It's all looking good. Johnny B. Red says, hit the like and show some respect to the lads. There's 350 people watching here, 117 likes. So keep going, try to get to 200 and see how we get on. Fabinho has scored, made it 1-0. Ox has made it 2-0. And then Minamino comes on. And Brentford decide that Barcelona primed 2011. And it just doesn't go right for them. Kev. That was just weird. Like, no matter how many times I watched that goal, it's weird that Firmino and Minamino are doing this thing in the box. You ever see when a team are dominating and two midfielders just pass to each other loads of times?
The boys there started doing a rondo in the box.
It was. I mean, before the second goal, they changed it from a back five to a back three. They brought on Sergio Canos and they changed it to a 3-4-3, and it gave us more space. And they had no choice. They had to try and do something because they couldn't go long. They weren't getting any joy out of going long. They needed the ball. So they had no choice but to go from the back. And Taki just read it. He read everything. He left the right back straight away and went straight after the keeper. Bobby targeted the six who was coming deep for the ball. And as soon as the keeper got it to his feet, Bobby sprinted, got on the ball, nipped in front of him. And it was literally a bit of tiki-taka between the keepers. It was like futsal goal. You know, you have it. No, you have it. Go on, it's your birthday. You have it. Go on. And it was just bang, bang, gone. You know, it was lovely. I was delighted for him because if you actually look, it was someone actually posted on Twitter as well. If you look at his Taki's contribution, his goal contribution, in all fairness, right, it's not as bad as what you think.
He's more goals than Jadon Sancho this season.
Not just Jadon Sancho.
I'm not. Right? That's just, I've seen something earlier that made me laugh.
Yeah, he's
16 games, six goals. Timo Werner, 18 games, six goals. Zaha, 5. Pulisic, 3. Lacazette, 5. Grealish, 3. Havertz, 5. Lucas Moura, 6. In 27 games. And he was playing in the conference. Do you know what I mean? For a guy who comes off the bench more often than not and was £7.5 million, when you're listening with those type of names, I'm very happy with Taki's output, to be fair.
Torsi done him no favours, though.
No, it didn't.
But when that drops, he should be just taking a touch and just passing into it.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you just look at what he is, he's fifth choice in a forward line, where you look at other players who are actually starting for sides around us and starting regular and cost big money, his output is fair. And most of those appearances that he's made is off the bench.
Interesting.
Johnny, he doesn't start many.
Interesting, though. Owen says, I noticed the player seemed so happy when he scored and celebrating with him. Of course they are, because he's their mate.
That's the one thing about the club.
And he's missed a horror one on Thursday night. And I'm sure, you know, if you go back to when we win the league, Henderson's nearly dragging him into team photos and getting him to lift the trophy and stuff like that, because he's only there fucking 4 months before we lift the title, or we're 5 months. And he doesn't play, he doesn't see them an awful lot in that time, if you remember. But they make him part of it. And that's what it's about. Fella misses something on a Wednesday or a Thursday. If he scores on a Saturday, everyone gets around and goes, look, it's all good. Don't be worrying about it. That's gone. You've scored today. Keith Plunkett nearly got absolutely Djokovic'd out of the UK today by the looks of it, because of his misses. He says, I had the bitterest blue taxi driver from the airport. Started about Heusel. The misses nearly dug him out.
What?
Shite bag. But, he nearly got departed to Keith by the looks of it. Just as he left John Lennon Airport. But,
Cheeky fucking prick.
It all worked out. But that's how it goes. But he gets
that goal was all for me. You know, like, they might get away with playing that ball if it's Origi up front or
Bobby sniffing like the
he's just watching there going, go on, fucking play that ball, play it. And then he sets the trap, they fall for it, he's in, and just a tap in for Taki. So for all, listen, for me, you know, for, Firmino gets stick, like, obviously for his goal return and whatnot, and he's obviously not as clinical as he should be, but that's the reason why he's there. He's like, he's very unselfish, and he's absolutely fucking exceptional at pressing and winning the ball back and setting traps. And it was great. It was great to see. Once that ball got rolled in, you knew it was like, you're fucked. I'd say he was running into your man, telling him you're fucked. I have you here.
Oh, I'd say he couldn't believe his luck, because the keeper plays it out. I think he gets it back, and then he just gives it to the fella in the middle of the park with the most players near him. And your man is—you can actually see your man's body language going, "What the fuck is he passing that to me for?" And it's just taking off. And then, like Johnny says, they're just tapping it between them until.
It's like I'm laying a bit of Semtex to two boys. None of them wanted it.
Yeah, but you know, do you know what it was, Johnny? Do you ever see when you're playing a game of football years ago on a Mega Drive or a Super Nintendo, and the thing glitches and the players are just fucking, they're all like this? That's what it looked like.
Call of Duty when a grenade lands on your lap and it gives you the option to throw it back. Yeah. You nearly dropped the controller. The two boys didn't know what was going on.
I just shoot with the sky, buddy, when that happens, when grenades land on my lap in Call of Duty. But it makes it 3-0, and it's absolutely great. I want to, before I go on to man of the match, I want to talk about two players though. And Shawnee, sorry, Davo, I'll come to you first. Curtis Jones. Because I feel a bit sorry for Curtis Jones. I think there's an awful lot of expectation on him. And he always seems to come into the side and loads of expectation on him when we're missing players. And last season when we had loads of injuries and the fellas he should have been playing with in midfield are playing at the back. And I think he's done exceptionally well for the age he is and some of the circumstances he's been in. Now, albeit I think he has a Premier League medal, but still, he seems to come to the fore for some grief from Liverpool fans. And he always seems to be at the forefront of things when just things aren't right. You know, it's a little bit like Minamino when you say, I'd love to see him playing with the main lads. You know what I mean? Sometimes that's the case with Curtis Jones, but how do you think he played today? Because I thought he was really good.
I thought he was excellent. Now, listen, that seemed to be a more serious eye injury than everyone kind of thought. I think there was an issue behind the eye and stuff like that and all. So listen,
that's right.
It seemed to be fucking a dodgy enough injury. So it's great that he's back from that. But what kind of stood out for me today was, I think he kind of, particularly when we were in possession, he wanted the ball. Give me the ball. I'll make it happen today. We're missing a couple of lads. He looked like a senior player today. He wanted the ball and he wanted to make things happen. That's what kind of stood out for me from today. I thought he was excellent. He was at the kind of forefront. And obviously, we get two goals from crosses. But I thought in general play, I thought he was very, very, very good. And he was making us tick, and he makes us look dangerous. When he skips by that first person, for that first player, he causes fucking havoc. And I thought he was excellent.
Yeah, I thought he was really good. And like I said, I've seen Curtis Jones in Liverpool sides when we're in really good form, and he comes into a team and he gets a game with players that are in form where they're meant to be, and looks really good. And there's times then where you see him and. Just games he has, he's poor, but he's still very young. But the likes of this today, banana skin, few players missing because of AFCON and stuff like that, and you're kind of saying to yourself, fucking hell, you know Curtis Jones is getting it if we don't win here. And I don't know why, but that seems to be the case. So I was delighted for him playing really well, and Liverpool got the win. Shawnee, you said the other night you would start Kay Gordon, and you've said that already on this show. But Shawnee, he should score.
Yeah, he's unlucky.
Yeah.
Very unlucky. Look, you kind of know when you see a player coming through what they're made of. Like, he's going to be, whether it's at Liverpool or someone else, he's going to be a Premier League football player, and that's a fact. I think he's that good. You see kids normally with that raw pace, they don't kind of have the intelligence to get their head up or pick the pass, or the composure is a bit off in the box, but he looks to have it all, and if he had a start today, I wouldn't have had any issue at all, because I think it's kind of a wild card for Klopp now over these next few games, that if we are in a position where we are comfortable enough to throw him in today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And let's say, like, on Thursday, if that game is close in the second half, I would throw him on, because he's kind of a one-note. He's on Thursday. Would you start on Thursday?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether I'd probably go with the same 11 again today, but just that's another story. But it's kind of that unknown quantity to other sides that he could be. Like, you know what I mean? He carries the ball very well. He loves popping the ball off with. He likes playing little combinations around the edge of the box. And like you said, he should score today. I think he's a wild card now between now and when the lads come back. And it may be only two or three games, but it's a chance for him now to step up and show exactly what he's made of. Like, it was great. That's his Premier League debut today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the sky is the limit with that kid. I really do. And there's going to be spaces in this squad because the front three, like, worst case scenario, they could be all out the door at the same time and they could be just looking to go for a straight reset on the hit the button on the front three, and he will do enough, I'd say, to put his name in the questionnaire when he's old enough, because he's 17 now, like, you know what I mean? And that's sort of the age now where you see these young talents breaking through. Like, it's not like he used to be. Players aren't 21, 22 and 23 anymore coming through. Normally when they're good enough for 17, 18, you'll see them getting games in the Premier League. And I genuinely think that he could be one for the future.
I keep thinking Phil Foden every time I look at him. And I don't mean the style of play.
So many of them, Gav,
I just mean, I said this, he plays a pre-season game and he looked to me like it was one of those where he'd be good on the break because he's a pace merchant. Right, and then he plays in the cup against Shrewsbury. Now, granted, it's Shrewsbury, but there's so much more to his game. He wasn't looking to just get in behind defenders. He was getting on that right hand side,
coming
inside, dropping passes off, looking like he used to have a combinations. Then using his pace at times, gets a good goal, brilliant finish. The way that little delay, before he finishes, and every time I look at him, I just think Phil Foden. I'm not saying he's the same sort of player. I'm just thinking really young, but just looks. And like Harvey Elliott, I suppose, just looks very comfortable. Like, yeah. I'm here. I'm good. You know, the sort of
it's way. Mad. Like, we went on about Curtis there. Like, Curtis is the type of player now where I wouldn't have any reservations about him being in any 11, even if everyone is fit. Mm. Like, you kind of trust him. You trust him. He's built up this trust in him that you feel, even though he is a relatively young player, he has got the experience. You would trust him in a big game, even away from home. I would, because he looks after the ball most of the time. You can dwindle on it, but he looks after the ball most of the time. From what we've seen of Elliot, Klopp throws him in at home to Chelsea, and he plays well. So, like, Klopp will give you a go. Like that, yeah. It is proven that Klopp will give you a go. And if Kay Gordon now can make some sort of impact between now and by the time the lads are back, and now it's only two or three games, look, I'd be putting him on the fucking bench ahead of Origi. That's just me, to be honest with you.
Even in a longer sense of time, if he makes an impact between now and the end of the season, if Liverpool do manage to go away on a tour, which I don't know will happen because of the COVID situation, or even if they stay in England and play five or six games in pre-season, he'd be looking going, I'm not going along there to be a bit part young fella that might get a few minutes because, you know, someone needs a break. He could be looking going, I want to push in here, especially when you see Harvey Elliott, when you see what's going on there.
What you want to see from him now, Gav, is I want to play or I want to go alone. I want to push. And that little bit of impetus to get out and want to deal with himself, like, and not hang around, because a lot of these kids probably feel training with the first team, oh yeah, we'll only improve. But I think the only way to really reach our potential is to be playing football every week. It's as simple as that. Yeah. Like, look at what's going on at Chelsea. A man bleeding Lewis Baker makes his debut at them the other day. He's there about 18 years. He's about 24.
Yeah.
So, like, there's no point holding on to these lads anymore. And it's not like they're bleeding, they're a rarity anymore. Like, fucking that young lad off Villa, your man Ramsey, like,
yeah, good player,
looks ridiculous. And then the other lad who they're gonna lose on a free, there's talent all over. Like, the players that England are producing, these lads are gonna have to be playing to be even getting games for the 23 sides, the 21s, the 19s. They're gonna have to be playing football because that's the standard that's been set there now at England. Like,
I think, just going back to Curtis Jones, and I hate to make another Man City comparison, but if I'm Curtis Jones, I'd be watching videos of Kevin De Bruyne all day, every day.
You'll never have a fat ass like De Bruyne.
No, but the thing about De Bruyne is, if you watch the one thing you hold against Curtis Jones, he holds on to it too much at times. Bit slow in getting releasing it. Now, right? If he watches Kevin De Bruyne, because look at the, he's not a small fella. He's not, you know, 5'6", 5'7". He's a unit, Curtis Jones.
Curtis is about 6 foot.
But the way he moves and the way he can glide by people, I'd be showing him videos of Kevin De Bruyne going, look how he releases it. He doesn't run 20 yards to pass the 20. He just hits a 40. Just zips one, 40. And then he goes by people. I'm not saying he's Kevin De Bruyne level.
When I see him
and the way he moves and the way he wants to drift back past players, and if you can add in those passes where he just hits that bit extra and plays them a bit longer, you know what I mean? I'm not telling you Curtis Jones is going to be brilliant.
No, they're just similar how they look after the ball.
Yeah, that's how they look after the ball. And the attributes is how they try move with it. That's what I'd be looking at. Barry Devaney says, Rooney said Gordon has it all and he's ready for the big time. Wayne Rooney, of course, was Derby manager. And that's where we got Kay Gordon from. Kev.
Yeah.
Man of the match.
I'll stick with Fabinho. Nothing I've seen since has changed my mind. And thinking back on the game, I just thought he was brilliant. I mean, the goal aside, he was just a rock in that position. He blocked everything off. He was comfortable on the ball. He received it in good areas, passed it off quick. He was just, he looked back. If that's about the best way I can put it. He just looked completely safe with the ball. No one was really getting a run on him. I just thought he was really, really good. Go back quick. One thing about the academy stuff that you were chatting about. Everyone is hoping that the next player that comes through the academy is going to have the impact that Trent did. And I think that's the weight that they carry as well. That's the burden that they carry. That they're expected to go on at 22 and be world class and be one of the best in their position. And when you look at forwards that other clubs are producing, the likes of Greenwood at United, Foden, you know, you're hoping, Odoi at Chelsea as well is a very good player. You're hoping that these guys that we're bringing through are going to go and do that. Because if Gordon goes on next season at 18 and really pushes into the first team squad, we're not looking at Rafinha then. We're just not. If we're keeping Salah, we have Kay Gordon there on that side. You don't look at Rafinha to play in that position, or you don't look for a right winger who comes in on the left for that slot. That's 60 million quid saved straight away. That's money that can be reinvested in other parts of the club. Curtis Jones comes in long term, and Thiago leaves in 2 or 3 years. In 2 years' time, Jones is 23. You know, perfect. Jordan Henderson is reverted into the Milner role. You know, those options are that Tyler Morton is coming through as well. That's the hope. That's all we can hope for, that the academy is producing players that are good enough to be in a title-challenging squad. And they're doing a hell of a job.
Yeah, it can be a double-edged sword, though, Kevin, in the sense that Shani is right. These boys want to play, and if they don't play, they'll fuck off to Germany.
They'll go somewhere else. Whatever.
They'll just say, listen, I want to play. Look at Sancho. Look at this is the players talk to the agents of the club. Look at Sancho. Look at X, Y, and Z. They went to Germany and played Bellingham. I'm going to play. So clubs, you're right, absolutely bringing a talent through. But then the club's going to have to say, right, we need to give these boys a chance.
But that's the thing, isn't it? Because
they're going to fuck off.
The past evidence
They're the lifeblood of the clubs because, like you said, if they don't, like, it's a tough task into the Liverpool starting 11, but the 8, 9, 10 million pounds you might get selling them on to either Championship or Premier League teams as well allows you to go as well. So, it's massive that these lads are getting games for us because that's all going to be on the CV.
Yeah.
And that's the way it will be looked at. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. But
I think it's quite telling that he's giving them games, though.
Yeah, if one breaks in, that's it. They save you a fortune.
It adds to the argument that Klopp likes. Sorry, I was just going to say it adds to the argument. Klopp, when people say Klopp likes working with a younger squad, a smaller squad, it's not really. He has a squad of about 18, 19, and then he can give these kids a chance. If he has a squad of 23 first team equivalent players, these kids don't get a sniff. They just don't, because you've got 20 million pound players who are bench players knocking on the manager's door saying, play me or I'm moving. and you get disharmony in the squad, where you've got a squad of probably 18 what I call senior players. You've got a couple of players there who know their role in the squad as squad players. And then you've got these, like the likes of Curtis Jones coming through. So they can see a pathway at the club, which means there was someone named one of the Villa kids. I think it's Chukwuesi or so.
Yeah.
It's something along those lines. Yeah. Liverpool are looking at him strongly. He came on the other night late in the
game. He
won't sign a new deal, and Liverpool are looking to try and pick him up for free. And it'll be a compensation type deal if we get him. But I remember him playing in the FA Youth Cup against us, and he just looked a class apart against our lads, you know. And if these kids see a pathway, they'll come and they'll play and they'll want to stay. Well, but there has to be some kind of a pathway there.
The template the template is there with Trent, most definitely. But even more so, I think with Harvey Elliott, because Harvey Elliott goes out on loan. See him in a year at Blackburn, comes back, and like they're like, yeah, come on, let's go, let's play football. And up until the injury, I thought he was absolutely excellent.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if Elliott doesn't get injured, Jesus, like, we'll see when he comes back. The one thing I'd say about Elliott is that game relies too much on pace. Now, an injury like that is not going to kill him. Like, you know what I mean? A lot of his football is in his brain. So, like, but if he had to stay fit, Jesus, I reckon everyone would have been going along about him in the same light that they have Bellingham. Now, Bellingham is a mental footballer, but I think Harvey Elliott is good enough to be in the England squad at the World Cup next year. And then genuinely, I do think he can be that good because he was pulling the strings for us.
Yeah.
People had him in our best 11s.
Like, because our outlook in midfield had changed. And that player on the right of the tree, right, was the player that was looking to be the main link and the main man going forward to help the front three. And he was put in there more often than not. And he was so fucking good. Like, right, he doesn't get many goals, but he's very unlucky in certain instances. But the way he was moving the ball, picking up spaces, attracting people, watch the Leeds game until he goes off. He's brilliant in it. I think he's absolutely brilliant in it.
He shouldn't be using Trent as the benchmark because
he's ridiculous.
Trent's an alien. Trent's a Martian. He's playing. He's reinventing that role. Let's be honest. Like, he's doing mad stuff from right back. Like,
yeah. No, that's a different stratosphere altogether.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think he shouldn't be the measure because it's that will kill young fellas when you're going in there. And this young fella is 22 now. He's won pretty much all the top honours in European football, team of the years, Champions Leagues, Premier Leagues.
Yeah. European Super Cup.
You can't hold every kid up to that standard because they just won't make the cup if that's the case. He will literally be the only one. He is special. But it doesn't mean that we can't use any of these other lads because there's some serious talent coming through. Like, you know what I mean? And look, if we can't get them in the team, do what fucking Chelsea does and get 20 and 30 million for every one of them. That's what we should be doing.
Yeah. Can't get them in the team, you loan them out. They're brilliant. You still don't want them. You get your money and more back.
Yeah.
I think Kev is the only one to give us a man of the match. Tavo, man of the match.
Yeah, listen, I agree. I thought Fab was great. I thought Curtis Jones was very impressive, but I thought Matip was man of the match. Listen, he has a bit of a brain fart that gives Tony that snapshot that nearly goes in, but apart from that, I thought he was absolutely fucking flawless, and he bailed Virgil once or twice today. Again, he snuffed out a couple of really kind of half stroke full on dangerous moments that they could have had in the first half. I think he's been fucking sensational. I think after Salah, he's been our second best player all season, and I thought he was excellent again today.
Yeah, he has been, in fairness. He's been our best defender. Forget centre back, he's been our best defender this season. Sean, who you going with?
The Premier League.
Who you going with?
Matip as well. I thought he was deadly. Do you know what I liked about the centre backs today? They were far more aggressive, I thought, in the first half, which hasn't been the case. And again, like, When do we actually start to say, all right, well, maybe Matip's at a higher level than Virgil at the moment, because he has been.
Oh, he has been. There's no doubt about that.
To be honest with you, I think by Salah, he's been a player of the year. Genuinely, I do. I think he's been the best centre-back in the Premier League. He's class.
I don't think that's the saying of Virgil's being bad, Sean. You just think Matip is elevated.
I'm looking at Van Dijk and he's fucking wrecking me head.
I just been trying, like, that Leicester game, he's going to get across and try and block the shot.
He's still playing in the second tour game mentality when his body's not up to it yet, I don't think. I think if Van Dijk just simplifies his game a little bit more, he'd be grand. Because I don't know what it is. Sometimes just throwing his leg out to block shots, it boils me piss. But Matip for me, man of the match, I thought he was class again today, barring the brain fart. I thought he was brilliant, and he's probably the best dribbler in the Premier League, to be honest with you. It's stupid at this stage. Yeah. Like,
just
if he lets out the basketball 5 yards in the final third, he's going to be putting up some serious numbers.
If he dribbles like that and bangs one from 30 yards into the top corner,
goal of the season.
I'll genuinely see he can have the lead because I'm done. I'm genuinely.
It's like he's going from the shower to the bedroom without a towel. Yeah. And he's just playing
on a toilet floor with Wifi. Yeah, he's on a hook.
It's like he doesn't want it. The floor is lava. If he just starts dancing, you can't get near him. There's legs going everywhere.
He thought he was getting one today, and then he hit a shot that killed 14 maggots on the way into the keeper's hand.
I'm going to go Fabinho. I thought he was excellent. I agree with Kev. I think he looked on it, and the real Fabinho. And the thing for me is, when he's on it, he sets a tempo for us because he moves that extra few yards up the pitch and he says, right, you're not getting a chance to pass and then look for a pass. I'm cutting you out at source. And I thought he was really good at that today. And when he does that, Liverpool pen teams in and have a lot more ideas about them and don't. The game isn't as stretched. And we're not as exposed, and he's absolutely key in that. So I'll even it up 2 for Fabinho, 2 for Matip.
Let the chat decide.
They'll decide anyway. They don't give a fuck what we say. 30 likes short of 200. So bang that like button. And there's over 400 you're watching. So hit that like button and get us to 200 before we finish. Just a couple of things before we finish. I was going into Arsenal away on Thursday, but we'll cover that during the week and we'll have shows leading up to that. But the North London Derby was called off. Arsenal, after fucking crybaz for the last bleeding week, end up calling the game off. And then Spurs, who started all this shit, have the nerve to turn around and give out because Arsenal have a game called off. Sean, I'll come to you first. It's just a fucking mess, isn't it? And clubs will just get away wherever they want now because a month ago, two clubs shut down training grounds and went, we're not playing. And the FA or the Premier League went, yeah, okay. And then they've just been in a tailspin ever since.
Yeah, it's fucking... someone that's saying everything is going through Shani's head, and this is the fucking one that's... I can't enjoy football when it's like this because you just... Well, Arsenal had one extra COVID case, but it was called out because of injuries. And the worst part is when they're putting out the statement it's because of COVID and injuries... They should just be told to get nominated. And I tell you what, there's a lot to be said for getting nominated because fucking Leeds got that best result of the season today away to West Ham with 7 teenagers on the bench.
Yeah.
And they were fucking brilliant. Like, so it just goes to show that it can be done. Like, and in fairness to Leeds, I think their hands were kind of tied when they had to get the game called off. They didn't want it. And Bielsa turned around and goes, when we can play football, we will. And I watched there's a show on the UPTV. It's like a Premier League show. Don Hutchinson does be on it, actually. He was actually quite a good pundit. And he was saying that the Premier League haven't had control over this from minute one. As soon as United and Spurs start looking to get things called out, they should have just laid down a line, a marker, to say, if you have this, it can go this way. And if you don't, you're just going to have to fucking play anyway and get on with it. Unless it's an extreme case. But you have Arsenal now, who are literally just like, we're down bodies. If we get this call off, we're going to have players back. Like, that's a 6-pointer for them. That's a huge game.
Massive game.
That sports game is bigger than the game on Thursday for them, I'd argue. So, the integrity of the competition is just up in the air. You look at the table is mental. You don't know who's where. Like, West Ham are still in fourth, but with the games in hand, you could end up at eighth, seventh, eighth.
Burnley have four games in hand.
Yeah, look, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's fucking stupid. And of course, Klopp is the only one that gets lashed over for going on about these things. But
well, the funny thing is, Arsenal went mental and wanted us investigated, thrown out of the league, thrown out of the League Cup, all our trophies from the last 120 fucking 8 years or whatever it is, taken off us. They wanted everything done. And then when Arsenal get one call off and you go, well, what's the crack, lads? And they go, well, wasn't Liverpool called off? So they're actually using what they're moaning
about. I don't know what the crack is.
You know, but do you notice the way the Arsenal one has passed? And it's minimal, right, yeah. What's going on. The Leicester one passes during the week against Everton. Nothing really said. Liverpool, the most transparent of them all, who tell you everything that's going on and what they've done, and it's a conspiracy. Like, it's fucking madness.
It's just the integrity of the competition is definitely has to be called into question, because looking at the table now, like, we're coming towards February and teams have an extra 4 or 5 games to play.
Only haven't played half their games yet.
Yeah, sure, they've only played
17.
Yeah. And they haven't called off a single game, by the way. It's all been called off on them.
And not one of these games have been rescheduled yet.
No.
No.
As soon as injuries were brought into it, that was it. That was the free-for-all. That was the door opened and the fucking horse bowled it fucking through it. Because I think the Leeds game that got called off for us on Stevens Day, I seen a list of players out, and that chap that was involved in Elliot's injury strike, Pascal Strike, was the only player with COVID listed when the game was called off against us. So once injuries are brought in, that was it. That was the free for all. The league are fucked now, because I don't know how they get a handle on it now. Are they going to change the criteria? Will other teams kick up? Then that, like, Burnley have 4 games in hand. And they're saying, well, hold on. How many of them four games were called off for COVID or injuries at Burnley? Right? I don't know. Right, so what if Burnley, now, and if they change the criteria and in 6 weeks' time, Burnley have exact same as what their 4 games are called off, are they going to go, what's the fucking story here?
But there is no criteria, Devil.
Yeah. Well, the league have a certain criteria. The problem is they allow the injuries.
You think they allow the injuries to be used. But what's happening is teams
it's 14 and a senior goalkeeper.
Yeah. And then they're turning up and they're saying to you, it's a mix of injuries, COVID, AFCON, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as it went away from COVID to being injuries and that, injuries and AFCON, it was fucked.
Yeah,
and if you have injuries, I think in fairness there's special dispensations in previous years regarding anyway with goalkeepers. If you're 3 senior goalkeepers are down, you could get an emergency loan or something like that. I don't have an issue with a COVID outbreak, you're getting a game called off, and I don't have an issue if you're 3 senior goalkeepers are down and you need to get something done for calling the game off. But other than that,
I think what happened to Arsenal is Xhaka gets sent off and they literally have one fit midfielder.
Yeah, because they loan it Ainsley
Maitland-Niles.
Yeah.
That's unlucky for them.
Yeah, and they loan Balogun. And the thing is, I know what you're saying, there's a criteria, right? It's not worth the paper it's written on, because it's 14 players and a goalkeeper and all this shit, but they're not telling you what stands up to that criteria. So you can show up and say what the fuck you want.
Yeah, I know, I agree with you.
He played a game in the Premier League too yesterday.
Do you know what I mean?
Worst of this with Arsenal is they declared Callum Chambers injured and Kieran Tierney injured after they played 90 minutes against us.
Yeah.
On top of everything else.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
As I said last week,
there's nothing to stop any club now turning up and saying the 4 lads coming through the door for training on a fucking Thursday morning, the 4 of you have back injuries, and that's the fucking end of it. Yeah. And we're up for it now.
I don't blame Arsenal. I don't blame Arsenal one bit, because the problem is
they're playing the game now.
If the league turn around and force Arsenal to play, Arsenal will be the first one to turn around. Hang on, you let Tottenham get their full strength side back. So, we're playing here.
Tottenham are claiming that they were toned down, for a game against Leicester, but subsequently Leicester put in an application and it was okayed. That's what Spurs are claiming. So there's all stuff going on, but look, clubs can turn up and just have all they need. They don't even need a fucking COVID case at this stage, They can just turn up and go, this, and this, and sure, look, here's the precedence that was set. And the biggest problem was a month ago or whatever it was when two clubs in the Premier League showed no transparency to what they were doing, closed down training grounds and said, we can't play these games, and they were told, yeah, you're okay. Now, when you said that, they should have drawn
the line. And then when we show transparency, the fucking...
The actual transparency is the issue.
We put in their false positives, no problem. An independent lab done them.
Yeah.
Who the fuck do they think Liverpool have working for them? Fucking Gregory Radchenko from fucking Icarus out the back door, fucking throwing the COVID test out the fucking window, some fella standing up in a wheelie bin. Will you fucking stop? Independent fucking lab.
Yeah.
There was fucking things fucking, it obviously fucking went wrong with fucking, it was the same thing with United in pre-season, couple of rugby teams, the same 10 or 12 false fucking positives. Get over it.
Yeah.
The fucking neck of the cunts fucking and then they're all now, oh well, you have to let Arsenal get called off, you just have to let us get called off because you got called off.
But Arsenal want to be called off.
They should be ashamed of themselves.
After telling us that we were a disgrace.
Which is mad.
But anyway, that's an odd one in Derby. Someone's asked there, do you think they'd be able to play us? 100% Arsenal have torn up players, of course. Without a doubt. Because would Xhaka be back? He won't.
He's suspended.
Straight red.
Oh, no, he wouldn't be back because he don't play.
He didn't play a game.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Be two game. He's got a two-game ban anyway.
Yeah, so. but look, the thing is, Thursday to Thursday is 7 days. Once they can get Saturday and Sunday out of the way and they can't play, they'll be back for the Thursday. It's fucking mad.
Those injuries will clear up, not a bother.
The Icarus shout has got some response in the chat there.
Honestly, did it
seem fucking? I know. Fucking Wayne and Waynetta out of fucking Harry Enfield doing the test in that Jacks. So that's that. So the last thing I want to finish on is Rafa. Agent Rafa.
Segue.
He gets sacked by Everton today. Shawnee, I'll come back to you. One, do you think it's right? And two, like, where is this club going? Like, I've seen loads of people saying, just give it to Dunk on the permanent basis. He loves the club. Like, this is what you're up against. It's fucking mad, isn't it, Shawnee?
I genuinely didn't think that they'd sack him because they literally got rid of everybody else before him.
Yeah.
And they're ending up at the sack them now. Like, they've nobody left. There's no backroom staff. They must be trying to save money. Because, like, they get rid of Brandt, they get rid of the medical team. Dunk was gone, wasn't he? He was fucked out.
Am I right? I don't know if he's being fucked out or he was on the verge, was talking of being fucked out. I don't know. Is he still at the games?
And then he sell Digne, and then...
Off the back of siding with Benitez over Digne.
Like, so, yeah, man, O'Sherry hasn't got a bleeding clue. Or whoever's doing making the decisions there, they're a fucking joke. And I tell you what, the best thing they could do now, to be honest with you, is get Rooney in. Honestly, because it would be the shield that Lampard kind of was. Well, not so much Lampard, that Ole was at United, where I don't think they turn on him quite as quick as any other appointment that they could make. Even Duncan Ferguson. There's talk of Duncan Ferguson, and you can see some of their fans and their fan base are going, no, just no. Like, because he'll be trying to bleed and summon the bleeding ghost of Howard Kendall on the sideline to try to get 3 points, wearing his socks and his jocks and all that. He's mad. Everything is mad. Honestly, Amazon are looking around the world to do these documentaries.
They should be absolutely signing them up on a 3-year deal.
Honestly, they literally should be saying to Amazon, if you pay for a stadium, you can film us for 10 years. We'll name the stadium after you and all. Because it will be absolutely box office. It's fucking, it's mental. And what you said yesterday, Gav, about Richarlison, I was thinking, the money they spent on Shuey, and he's literally their only sellable asset.
Yeah.
Him and Calvert-Lewin.
Yes,
the rest of Shuey.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, Calvert-Lewin as well, but Like, I don't know. What's Sack and Rafa going to do?
Well, the thing is, I was on a show on Merseyside Radio going back 4 or 5 weeks ago. Tony Scott, the Everton fan, was on me. And they were asking me what I thought as a Liverpool fan about Rafa. And I was saying, look, it doesn't matter that it's Rafa. The quality of what he is, right, and what you bring in, what he brings to the club, is what they need. They need someone that's a bit of a cunt, right? Sorry to use that word, right? But they need someone like that. He's all right. He's a former Liverpool manager. But that wouldn't stop Rafa Benitez doing what he's meant to do. Rafa Benitez never sits there going, I'm going to do this because I'm a former Liverpool manager. He doesn't give a shit, right? They need... It's like I said to you earlier, Shawnee. Everton fans have no patience for nothing, right? Now, I get it's been 27 years since they won a trophy. I get all that. But they've no patience. What they think is, when a change is made, that's it, we're back, right? And it's a bit like Manchester United, who give lip service, like I said to you earlier, to the thoughts of building for the future with younger players, when they actually detest it, right? Because as soon as the young players fail 4 or 5 games into a season and they lose a game, it's like, well, look who we have, this young fella. We should be getting this, that, and the other. They actually detest a reset or a rebuild or whatever it might be. But Manchester United are a different animal to Everton. But they have no patience whatsoever. And what they want is, they just feel now that Rafa's gone, all our problems are gone. Bring in fucking Duncan fucking Ferguson, for fuck's sake. Give him the permanent job because he knows the club. Well, I'm sorry, but if you want to give somebody a job that knows that club and has been willingly part of what's going on in that club for how many years he's there, you've bigger problems than I ever thought. What you should be looking at is someone that comes in, right, that has a look for the future and looks around and looks at the likes of Duncan Ferguson going, you're part of this shit for the last 5 years. And people, what the fuck are you doing here? And they absolutely need a clear out, and they need to manage their expectations as a fan base, right? Liverpool done it when Klopp came in. We knew we weren't the best. We knew it might take time. We've seen some shocking fucking performances when Klopp came in, and the run of the Europa League kind of over, you know, masked that in the 14. But we've seen it gradually building. You know, 16, 17 were top. Doesn't, and Mane goes off to the African nations, am I right? And we fall on our arse. But you're seeing what we could do, and we get into the Champions League, then you see what we do the next, and it builds and builds and builds, right? But Everton won't do that. Everton will want a new manager in, and trust me, they'll have someone in by the 20th of January, and by the 20th of fucking February, they'll want to be in the top half of that table. And if they're not in the top half of that table, this fella's useless as well. That's what they do. That's what they do, and they'll always do it because they've no patience. And do you know why? Because they are obsessed with what's going on a mile across the road. They're fucking obsessed with it. And if they're not on top of what's going on across the road, they're not happy. Instead of focusing them on themselves.
Be the case, man, but this Mo Shirley fella hasn't got a fucking clue.
No. No.
And whoever he's appointing, they got your man from Leicester for us, didn't he? What's a steal?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. It's getting to the territory now.
Steve Walsh. Yeah.
You look at Everton and you look at United, and for me, they're in the same bracket. Is that I actually don't think that there's one single person that can sort that. I don't, because look at what's going on in United and look at what's going on in Everton. It's two different scales, but it's two same of the problem. Like, you've boards who don't know what they're doing. They're bringing people in, and then the dressing room is obviously full of shitheads. It's full of shitheads. You had your man Bernard coming out saying to Digne, oh, we all know what's going on behind the scenes. Like, that just smells of bad eggs. Same with United. Bad eggs all over the place, and you just need a reset. Do you know what, Gal? Dare I say it? They probably need to go into the Championship.
No, I'll tell you what I think they need.
I'm not even joking you, because sometimes
Mascheri needs to step away, and he needs to tell Kenroy to fuck off. Right, that's the first thing they need to do, because all Kenroy is there for, and all you hear from him is when they lose a game, there's some fella in the main stand shouting, "Where's the fucking Arteta money, Bill?" or "Get rid of him, Bill." Right, that's all you see of Kenroy. So he needs to go. They need to put a director of football in charge that actually manages the football club, and the owner needs to be able to say to him, "Listen, here's the budget for the season. I'm giving it to you because of your football background, managing.
They've done all this, Gav.
No.
They've done all this.
No. Listen, hear me out. What he done was to give Marcel Brands the power to pick players.
Director
for
of football.
I mean a director of football that directs the football club, right? And brings a manager in that wants to spend the money. The manager picks the players and goes to him and says, I want to sign X player for this amount of money, and this is why, because me and the backroom staff.
That's why Rafa couldn't spend the penny, because the two fellas before them were out there doing that.
Your man Brands was spending the money like there was no tomorrow, Shawnee. Yeah.
He was screwed for the director of football, Gaff. He'll spend the money.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is,
what you need is a manager to dovetail with him, and they're bound to the same page.
Exactly. But what you have at Everton, for me, is you have a manager that's been kind of giving his players from Marcel Brandt, who has an owner that just seems to fuck money at it and doesn't have a fucking clue what they're spending on. And then they all come 6 months later and go, what the fuck is going wrong? Get him out. And then they fuck him out, right? And they start again and they just repeat the process. They just keep, and that's why Benitez wanted him out, because he just seen a repeating process all the time. Benitez would have been okay if someone came in and said, right, Mashiri's not stepping away, but I'm the man, me and you are going to work together. Right, he's going to give us our budget, and we're going to work together. Right, and we'll fall on the sword together. Right, and
I don't think Rafa would sign up for that.
I think he would if Rafa was picking the players. It was a lot of Brands being fucking handing this player contracts and that player. I've listened to loads of Everton stuff on it. The lads on Across the Park podcast are really good now. Really honest on it. If you want to listen to
the major issue going forward at the club there is that wage bill, the turnover is absolutely fucking scandalous. It's high 80s anyway, and it's absolutely scandalous. There's some absolutely dog shit players there on big money, and they have a huge wages issue,
and they've committed to that stadium, and I don't think they have the chops, to be honest. Genuinely, I don't.
And look, the big thing is, we all know it's very hard to get rid of players that are on big dough that don't want fucking pants. They're sitting there in a contract. They've a huge issue, and that fan base is absolutely broken. Now, listen, I know simply for them, fuck them. I don't give a fuck. But like, we're talking about them here, so we'll bang it in. But they saw it. He gets rid of everybody in the club and sells probably one of their better players, like one of their three best players, to it'll be deemed as Rafa selling to Steven Gerrard, even though they've done a deal with Villa. And then they sack him. It's like there's no foresight, there's no nothing going on.
No, because
Shawnee said, because no one's throwing money at it for the crack.
But no one's controlling it. And then what they're doing is, like, I'm not saying fans shouldn't be listened to, but genuinely, that fan base, right, are making all the decisions based on them being completely fucking mental. Like, that's what's going on.
There's two problems.
Sam Allardyce comes into Everton and he shoots them up the table. He gets them to a decent level, right? And the club are like, the fans are like, and as much as you don't like Sam Allardyce, right? He would have done a job for Everton. And what do the fans go? No fucking way. No, right? And they don't give him the job, right? And we've seen manager after manager since. And when them supporters at the drop of a hat decide that he's not good enough, right, they go fucking mental, and the club go, they're all going mental. And they sack him. This time, they've actually backed the manager with two fucking transfers of young fullbacks, right? Dinya wanted out of the club because he didn't like the style of play. That's the way I see it, right? They sell him. They get rid of their director of football, which is probably a good move. Right, but it's still seen as a move to back Rafa. And then when they do all this, they sell him. Because why? Because it's a fella with a fucking flag in the away end of Norwich. And they're all going fucking mad.
Gab,
this is the thing, lunatics running in a asylum from
Simon
top to bottom.
Gordon said it, had it on News Talk and Talk Sport the other day, because he always slags Jim White for being Moshiri's best mate, because he's always on the pulse with everything. And Simon Jordan hit the nail on the head. He goes, Moshiri and his creditors or whoever's around him are going to turn around and look at his accounts in the not too near future. And he said it's going to get to a stage where he will literally be better off cutting off his nose to spite his face, because he's probably losing that much money now to everything, that hemorrhaging money and the responsibility to keep that club running, whereas he'd be probably better just pulling out of it, letting it die and let someone come in, take her off and fire you out just because that hemorrhage of money stopped the bleeding. Because they have committed to so much now, whether, like as Shane said, player contracts and this stadium. And it's just, it's not good. It's not good for them. And I'm in the Davo camp where I genuinely couldn't give a bollocks.
Yeah.
I couldn't. And I know people are going, it's not good for the city, this, that, and the other. Look, if you live above your means for too long, you get punished. And I think they have been chasing that tail for way too long. And it's going to get dark there. They thought Ancelotti was a saver. And they thought Rafa was going to come in and probably... Like, what's their ambition?
Well, they don't know what their ambition is, Shani. They don't know what it is. Because, I've seen them going, if we got a manager in and wasn't beneath us, we'd be comfortably in mid-table. If Everton were in mid-table, sitting 11th or 12th, they'd be fucking having a breakdown that they weren't 8th. And if they were
the owner would still be hemorrhaging money. Yeah, because
and they'd be having a breakdown in 8th that they aren't pushing for 6th or 5th. They're lunatics.
And they have a Champions League wage bill. And they're nowhere near Europe. They're not a big club. I said this after on the post match when you asked me. I look at Everton. I don't see them as a rival. I see them as a game that we have to play, and there's emotion in it. If you live in the city, I understand it, but they're not a rival. All right. The fans think they're a big club. They're not. There's 10 bigger clubs in the Premier League in the top half of the table now that are bigger than Everton, and the way Everton are going, they will be in the Championship. It won't take long. Their wage bill is crippling them. There's no way in hell they can do that stadium move. They're just not big enough. They won't attract the investment. Banks will look at their records.
Well, the council are massively funding this as well.
No, but yeah, the council have come out and said, Gav, that they can only give so much.
Yeah, this stadium will not happen. There is just no chance.
Well, they've been concrete column last week, the superstructure. So
the way I look at it now, who in their right mind? I mean, I've seen all kinds of names linked with it, from Martinez,
former Everton manager Martinez, meant to be favoured. We've seen Wayne Rooney, Duncan Ferguson, and Mourinho. His name has popped up.
Yeah. Not Steve Cottrell, but your man at Brighton. What's his name?
He'd be the clever appointment.
But who goes near? Off his rocker, career suicide.
As I said earlier, I don't know whether it was in the WhatsApp or to you, Kev. Any manager worth their salt out there that has massive ambition, right, is sitting watching what's going on at Liverpool and saying, "Is he going in 2 years? Because if he is, I'll bide me time and I'll go there." Right, so nobody's going to take a United job if they want the Liverpool job. Simple as that. Right, nobody's taking over Everton on a whim if they think they can get the Liverpool job in 2 years. So Liverpool's situation is affecting other clubs, in my opinion, because if they believe Klopp is going in 2024, you don't make moves like that, Gav.
They're not in the fucking same fucking stratosphere of shopping for Manchester as Liverpool are.
No, but what I'm saying is that say for argument's sake the guy at Brighton, just for argument's sake, say he gets a move to Spurs, right, and does really well, right? He could be looking going, I get a move to Spurs this summer, just for argument's sake, and I do really fucking well for 2 years, and the Liverpool job is up in 2 years. Potter. And he goes, like, I'm sorry, but if you're the manager of Spurs and Liverpool come calling, you go to Liverpool.
That's not inconceivable, by the way.
Do you know what I mean? I'm saying. There will be managers on the brink of, you know, will I stay where I am? What moves? I'm convinced there's managers out there that are planning their moves this summer for 2 years, for then going to look and try to get Liverpool. And I still think Pochettino's one of those.
It'll be Roberto Martinez. They've asked Belgium, and Belgium have to get back to them. Now, if Belgium have any fucking brains, which you'd imagine they do, the Belgian FA, Martinez is no good. He's underachieved big time with that group of players at Belgium, and They'll get rid of Martinez, Belgium, and they'll get a nice fucking wage off Everton in compensation, and he'll end up going back there where he was fucking sacked 6 years ago. And it must be like, for say a right minded Everton fan that had not fucking running across pitches with their jeans hanging fucking down, like, for a right minded fella, you must be sitting there going, we sacked this fella in 2016, now he's probably going to get the job again. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
So, listen, if that's how I'd kind of see it playing out from a Belgian point of view of Everton, like, what's flowing around Twitter.
There's no international football really until the Nations League in the summer. So it's conceivable that Martinez could take him on until the summer and see where it goes from there. But with the World Cup around the corner, they're already qualified for, and they're in the top tier in the Nations League.
He'd want to go with that. But the thing is, like, why do you take it? Like, if I'm a manager, I'm looking going, forget the Liverpool link or anything else. I'm looking here going, lads, I could win me 4-5. And then I could draw 2, lose 3. And these cunts will want me out. That's how it goes. They will want me out there.
This sounds mad considering the situation at United at the moment, but that would have been the perfect one for Ranić to go in as director of football. He would have gone in there with the clout of building for Red Bull. And he could have went in there and go, right, well, technically, like, I'm sort of fucking bigger than Everton. I'm coming down to your level here to bring you up. Where it's not quite worked out for him that way at United, because he's gone into the big house. So I think they probably missed the boat there, because Ancelotti hasn't worked. Benitez hasn't worked. I don't know. I'm telling you now, it's like dipping your head under cold water. I think a year in the Championship would sober everyone up at that fucking club, and they'd get rid of all the shite who doesn't want to be there, and they'd be with people that did want to be there.
I'd put a tenner on Solskjaer. 100%. I'm not messing with you.
There was someone in France that is out of work at the minute. The name escapes me, but I think it was a former Lyon manager. Name's gone. But
the guy that was with Roma?
No, not Galtieri.
That was Fernandez.
Rui George.
Rudy Garcia.
Rudy Garcia.
Yeah.
But they're running
got interviewed for the United job.
Yeah, they've had so many managers in recent years that they've all, and anyone who comes in, you know, you're hamstrung with your budgets. You don't have money, and you won't have money for a couple of years unless you sell your prize assets. And it's hard, it's so difficult to get high wage earners out of a club, especially if they're bang average players, because no club in their right mind will go anywhere near their wage demands. So it's very, you know, people talk about we got to sign XYZ player as a club and have all these superstars. The problem is when it goes tits up, you're left with these high earners who don't want to go and who don't care. Who don't care if they go or not. It's literally a case of fuck you, pay me. That's their attitude.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care if I play or not, just pay me.
Well, Red Steve says they're United are a shit show and can't attract a proper manager. There's no one decent that will be attracted to Everton. I agree with that. And it's not only because Everton aren't the biggest club around, it's genuinely because they're a basket case. United are laughing stock because the size of the air, the power they have, the financial clout they have, and they just keep getting it wrong. And they keep refusing to lower expectations, put the right players and the right staff in place and work to something. Everton, on the other hand, are somebody that, a club that just keep, for some reason, believing that they should be here, there and everywhere. And as soon as anything goes wrong, goes absolutely fucking rasher over. We'll have to wait and see. They'll have to make an appointment quick, though, because they're 6 points off the bottom three. And Ready? Trust me, they get dragged in there and you think it's toxic when they're playing bad. If they drop near that top three, it'll be fucking carnage at Goodison every week. And I mean that, carnage. We better leave it here because Davo has to go up early in the morning. He goes out early doing stuff. Sean, anything else before we go?
No. All good, Gav.
Good.
Delighted for Keita and Andy who are over at the match today. Got to see a win. So
absolutely.
Boys, safe home.
Davo, anything before we go?
No, all good. Good to get a win today and clean sheet and bit of luck. We could be bit of luck get a win next week and stay in the cup when the lads come back in and see how we go.
Good stuff. Kev, anything else before we go?
No, we're all good. Just roll on Thursday night now. Can't wait for this one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Thursday as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it for the Fat Pack Four. We cleared the 200 likes, fair play to you. Then one fucker disliked near the end. I'm not happy. But
Everton fan.
Yeah, Duncan Ferguson.
They're massive.
Duncan Ferguson.
This week this week
there was the ghost of Howard Kendall.
Yeah. The cop update be with you every day from 2 PM, where I bring you all the news regarding Liverpool transfers, all that. Well, transfers from all over the league, really. Liverpool news, and we have discussion based on what lads and lassies are talking about in the chat, which is really good. 2 to 2:30 every day. We should have a forum back tomorrow, Monday. We'll have a midweek fix on Wednesday, previewing Arsenal. We'll be full time Reds on Thursday, Sports Unplugged on Friday, and then we get back into next weekend again. Please like, share, subscribe, and of course, make sure to get in the chat every day at 2 o'clock and every evening at 10 and have your say. That's about it. I think we're done. There's nothing.
Chris Brack just gave a couple of shouts out there, but the women's team at the top of the league.
They won again today. Clear.
Yeah. One again today, so
dodgy one there.
Right, one nil win,
yeah,
big win, massive win,
yeah. So that's about it. We will talk to you soon and have a good one. And there's nothing a weekend left, we took most of it up. So enjoy your week, and we'll talk to you soon. Over and out,
Sports Social Podcast Network.